Now I have an excuse, kind of.
So 88 Minutes stars Al Pacino and Robert Forsyth, who was the secondary guy in The Rock. He was not Walmack. John Spence was Walmack.
Right.
Robert Forsyth was the kickstand dick from Deuce Bigelow.
And he's the guy who they... Goodman pulls up out of the ground in Raising Arizona, and he's the bad guy in one of the Steven Seagal movies.
At least two, probably.
Maybe. I'm gonna treat you guys to something.
You're just gonna read an essay.
I'm gonna read out loud my review that comes out on Friday.
I don't know. Can we do that legally?
No, I already like, read it.
If you didn't,
it's in your word processor. I got it. Reddit.
You didn't.
Can you?
You can cut it out. It doesn't matter.
Well, then why are we going to record it?
Because it's funny.
Can I just like read it? Is this 88 minutes?
Why don't you just bullet point it and then we can keep it and use it if it's funny?
Bullet point.
Like, yeah, don't read it word for word, but give us the sense of it.
Fine, I won't read it.
Okay, so 88 minutes review by Zach Newkirk. There's probably a drizzle of that in
there. All right, I'll just read this one thing. This is basically the gist of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I see the gist right there. The real killer calls Graham's cell phone and tells him he has 88 minutes to live, then proceeds to try to kill him at every turn. Here's the gist of a typical scene. Killer over phone. You have 43 minutes left, Doc. Graham. Oh, yeah? Graham's car explodes. Graham dives out of the way. Killer over phone. You still there? Graham. Yup. Killer over phone. Okay, good. You've got 42 minutes. That doesn't happen. But that's basically what, that is basically the nub of the movie.
And Ryan from the OC is the killer in the end, or?
Ryan from the OC might be the killer. Who knows?
You never know.
Maybe it's Alicia Witt. Oh. Maybe it's Lili Sobieski.
Alicia Witt's in it?
Yeah, and Lili Sobieski.
From Law & Order CI.
Amy Brennerman. Brennerman.
Judging Amy?
Yeah,
Judging Amy. Is Tyne Daly in it too?
And for no reason, they happen to mention at one point, he's like, you take care of me so good. Why don't we get married? And she's like, because I'm gay, and you work too much. And then he's like, I know. And then they, like, walk away. Like, throw away. She's gay, basically.
They're just trying to
cool. Joke? Good right now. She's really gay.
Cool.
She is, because you see her kiss some chick later.
Nice. Just so you know.
Just so you know.
So anyway, here's 88 minutes. So it starts with, first of all, the most clunky, ridiculous way to show what date it is. These two girls are in their apartment together. These two Asian-ish girls.
Asian-ish?
Or the hat?
They're Asian-ish. Half the Asian.
Attractive? Cute? Pretty?
You're getting half chub over there, Mr. I love Asian chicks. Okay, so we open. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. How they set
Asian kids.
So these two Asian girls are in their apartment.
They're like, it's 5:30.
And it fades in on the cover of a newspaper, the Seattle Times or something.
And it knows
like that.
The time.
And it goes, and it says, Princess Di killed in car crash, mm-hmm. right? And the girl goes, poor Princess Di, she was wonderful. And her sister goes, yeah. And then, like, they put down the newspaper and like they walk away and do their thing. And it has nothing to do with anything.
They set this like
that's how they set up when it is.
8 years in the past for no reason.
No, because then.
I thought you meant like the specific time of day.
No.
This is the
date.
So why did they set it?
They didn't. He's gonna explain it.
And then, the one girl goes, "I'm gonna go feed my cat." And everyone's like, "Cool, I'm gonna take a shower."
They don't have cats anymore. They're
stop trying to guess why it's set 10 years.
Robo cats.
And so,
the replicants.
She goes in, and one of them turns her music up way too much, too loud, which is also some music from 10 years ago.
Right. Like, Spin Doctors or something? Yeah. No, wait, that was the wrong time period.
No, that was way too far.
It was Savage Garden.
I don't know, they were listening to it like Now Too or something.
Right? Yeah, Savage
something
Garden.
Like that, yeah. Savage Garden, yeah. And then so some dude slips in through the window, right, and ties up the one girl. You can't see who it is, right? Because it's you don't know who the killer is.
It's not
is.
Like you can see who it is. It's Tom Berenger from Sliver, and you know. Like,
no,
wait, that was Tom
it was
Berenger.
One of those
that's
like,
annoying.
You can basically see, like, at one point, the killer, like, turns his head, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And you see, like, like this profile, part, like the hairline right here, uh-huh. and I'm like, oh, all I have to do is look for whoever has that hairline,
and you're good. And I, 10 years later,
I think I might have even hairline. Said that out loud in the theater. Oh, that's the killer, right? So I'll know that if I see that, I'm looking around.
And then all the guys on their cell phones that were like, "Yeah, I'm watching 88 minutes. 88
just watching 88 minutes, bro. We're like, check it out. Alicia Witt's in it." And then, so anyway,
fiery little redhead.
He ties her up upside down from the ceiling, and then he starts. Cutting open her calf with a little scalpel.
That's creepy.
And he's like, ugh. But she's like knocked out with ether. Mm-hmm. It's not really, it's called something else though. And anyway, then the sister comes in the room and she's like, eek. And he knocks her out with ether too and then starts hacking her up too. And then like, the cat wants to get out. So the killer decides to let the cat
knock
out
with ether.
And then when he opens the window, the girl screams because some guy's like, shut that cat up outside. And so he opens the window to like shut the cat up and the girl screams and then he takes off.
I thought he knocked him out.
She wasn't totally
knocked out. It was ether knockout. They needed to keep him just alive enough so that he could know they would feel it.
Anyway, so then it goes to Pacino is like there and
he was there watching the whole thing.
No, he's helping out, right? And he shows up on the crime scene and they're like,
right.
They need to talk to the girl who's alive, and she's like, they're like, did you see who killed your sister and tried to kill you? And he's like, she's like, I think so. They're like, if you think you can put him out in a lineup, and she goes, I think so. And then it goes to trial, and a guy from Boomtown, kind of gray-haired.
With the weird eyes?
Yeah.
The guy that was also in Minority Report?
Yeah, and he was in Ravenous. You know the guy I'm talking about.
I think I do.
Anyway, they caught him, right? Mm-hmm. And, he's the killer. There's no suspense. He's the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, but you're like, you were in Boomtown, who only Zach knows about.
And he goes, no one he's on trial, Boomtown. Right? And this is even stupider at this point. Then someone goes, they put Pacino on the stand, and they go, I would like to now examine forensic psychologist Jack Graham. And they're like, you are a forensic psychologist, Jack Graham? He's like, I am forensic psychologist, Jack Graham. They only refer to him in the whole movie, I think, as forensic psychologist Jack Graham.
His full title. And he was knighted that way, I suppose.
And anyway, so they do this, like, I swear, three times. And it gets so annoying. I thought it was, like, for a comedic thing. And then I realized it's not a comedy. But,
even though it was hilarious.
The prosecutor goes, Dr. Graham, tell us why you believe that he's the killer. And he's like, well, I believe, and then the defense attorney goes, I object on the grounds that, and then talks for like 3 minutes, seriously, like this nonstop, like super, like machine gun fire thing, and then the judge goes, overruled, and she goes, continue, and he goes, I believe, and she goes, I object on the ground, and she like objects again, like says almost the same thing a different way, and then like she does it a third time, and then the judge is like, if you don't knock it off, and like they go into all this stuff, and it's nothing new with anything. The judge is like, you better knock it off, you defense attorney who doesn't appear in the rest of the film. Gets all like sassy at her and stuff because it's a black female judge, right? And then she's like, don't you object again, or some bad things are going to happen. And then she's like, answer the question, Dr. Graham. And he's like, what was the question? I'm just kidding. I remember the question. He seriously says that. It's exactly that. He goes, ha, I'm just kidding. I remember the question. Like, they turn into this, like, stupid joke. It's not even funny, right? And so then he's like, I believe by listening to this guy, because he's crazy,
saying it.
And he committed all the murders, and he should be the one that goes to jail for all these murders and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Seattle Strangler or something they're calling out.
Like BTK or something
like that, yeah. So anyway, he gets put in jail gets the death penalty. Then it goes to 10 years later.
Nice.
Some girl gets murdered in the same way, and it's the day before that guy is scheduled to be executed. And the whole time, this guy has claimed that he was wrong. He was innocent, and he was wrongfully accused of this.
No free turkey.
Because there wasn't any physical evidence. There was no murder weapon. All that had to go on was the sister, who briefly saw the guy and thought this might be him.
Yeah, because that's enough stuff.
I thought you said, though, that
get a murder one.
You knew it was the killer, conviction. Though, like, from the beginning.
Well, you know he's, like, he's obviously, like, the same guy that was in the room and stuff like that, but you don't know if...
They're
like,
trying to say the death penalty is wrong in the subtext.
It's because, that sort of thing. Like, you don't know whether or not he's actually the killer. But that's not... Like, the point is, he killed that girl in the beginning. but he's in prison, so someone else actually knows. The main killer. Yeah, because the main killer and the rest of the family is someone else. Yeah, that's the whole point of the thing. So the point of the movie is...
Gunjadel is a copycat!
I don't even know if I can, like... It's got so many, like, plot twists and stuff, but a large chunk of the movie is this. So, there's a new murder. This guy wakes up, Jack Graham wakes up, and there's this naked girl, like, stretching, brushing her teeth in the living room. He's like, where am I? And he sees her.
Jack Graham is Al Pacino.
He's like, yeah, it's Al Pacino. He's like, yeah, I banged her last night. And so then he gets up and goes to school, right, because he teaches.
That was one of his students, probably, something creepy like that.
It wasn't.
Oh.
And he goes to school, and there's this class with all these precocious, like, forensic psychology students, mm-hmm. I guess.
Like Ryan, Moshi.
Yeah, they're all there, right? And you know which ones are going to be playing in the movie because they're the only ones who talk in class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like watching the class scenes in, like, Scream 2. Remember in Scream 2?
Yeah.
Where they have these ridiculous conversations about movies that no one has even in film classes. You and I both did film school stuff.
Every now and again, we jump into something that felt
like generally it's like film generally time. It's like just the person talking about some theory or technique or something like that. But this was like them talking about genre things and like how characters act in genres, and then they all start arguing with each other. Like in Scream 2, you know what I'm talking about? The scene where like they go on for 15 minutes talking about like stuff that has nothing to do with the movie because they're describing what
they're
happens
being all meta. Yeah.
Here's what happens in sequels to horror movies, and. They do that sort of thing in this, where they're like, hey, that case where the guy's about to get executed tonight, like, did you, like, they're talking about all the techniques he did, and like, on the way to class, he gets a phone call, and someone goes, anyway, so when they sentenced the guy to death 10 years ago, he looks over at Jack Graham, who's just sitting there and kind of doing this, and he looks over and he's like, eh? And the guy says, TikTok. Like gives him one of these, look crazy a little bit, and Graham goes like, he's like, what, you know, huh?
88 minutes, what? Huh?
No, what?
It was 10 years and 88 minutes, but that was too long of a time.
So then, anyway, someone calls him on the phone and says, you have 88 minutes to live. TikTok, doc, TikTok. He says the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So were the killers like partners? Do you think?
I know. I saw the movie.
Were they?
Ryan was the guy's son. And
I don't know
he's
if I should give this
that.
Awesome movie away to you guys.
The guy was probably wrongly accused.
Been partners.
It's not partners.
Al Pacino probably really knows
the
Asians.
How would the guy that he sentenced like do the TikTok thing if he's still in prison and somebody else is like killing him and stuff? It doesn't make any sense.
You gotta watch the awesome.
It's a different guy, right?
How does Maid of Honor
it's a different
become
person.
Physically
so, yeah,
made
why would he do that? It doesn't make any sense.
That's the point.
Oh, so you're trying to like make,
I'm trying to make like, this sound better than it is for you to see
or
it. Wait, so let me just explain. Let me just explain some things here. So the stupidest thing about the movie is that
it basically
there's
sounds like
there's
it
obviously
continually
someone
announces
trying,
what it is doing.
Yeah,
like a lot of
so the person calls him and says he has 88 minutes to live. Mm-hmm. And then later he goes in the class and he dismisses everyone because there's a bomb threat. So this Rube Goldbergian thing is set up so that like the person's going to call in a bomb threat.
Yeah,
this
he
time.
Told me about
and
this,
then
like the times
yeah,
and stuff.
As
like
he's
that.
Leaving the room, like the overhead thing changes and it says 78 minutes, right? And he's like, oh, and he runs back downstairs and looks and it's like, it was like just written there, right? But there's no one else in the room and they couldn't have done that. And so, because all the students just left before him. And
except
knows?
Ryan.
So then he's like he talks to someone angrily and there's like all these people they introduced to be like possible suspects.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dean of the school comes up and is like, I need to talk to you, Jack, and your methods are crazy.
You're
at
least
angry.
Kid,
yeah.
God damn it, you're a good cop.
Exactly. And then you know, and he talks to Forsythe, and Forsythe's like, hey, we got a problem, we need to bring you in here. And they bring him in, they show him a tape of a student who he was at a party with the night before, who ended up getting killed in exactly the same way. That's what sets this whole thing in motion. He's like, damn.
It was him.
Well, they kind of start wondering that.
Why would I shoot my own car?
Blow up my car? Shoot bullets at myself?
Shoot bullets at myself. That's the greatest one. So here's the thing, is that the killer keeps, like, not even calling, but leaving notes that he sees exactly at this certain minute, it says. He goes down to his car downstairs. Has been smashed up. They broke the windows and beat it up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in paint on the back bumper, it says like 48 minutes.
Just say approximately.
Yeah, right. And so he walks up to it. He's like, oh my gosh! Like he doesn't even doubt that it probably is 48 minutes. He doesn't look at watch or anything.
Yeah.
He's like, damn. And then, anyway, he sees some other student walking by, and he's like, hey, did you do this? And she's like, no, it's Alicia Witt, you know? And he talks to her for, like, 5 minutes.
Which, she's playing a student in this, but she plays, like a detective on Law & Order Criminal Intent.
Yeah, she's a student. She's a college student. They're all college students.
She's, like, 23 in this, but then she's, like...
She's, like, 45 in... Yeah. So anyway, he shows her his car, like, 5 minutes later, and still says, that'd be cool if it had changed it. Like, it had been changed again to, like, 43 minutes. He's like, oh, my gosh, I just turned around. But that's the stupid thing. Like, he constantly does that. And then, like I said in this review here, like, all the time, it's like, he gets phone calls and, like, hey, you know, you've got 50 minutes to live. What does it feel like to know you're going to die in 50 minutes? And he's like, I'm going to find you. Then he, like, calmly goes to his next place and, like, everyone's, like, always so scared around him. He's like, just chill out. We're gonna get to the bottom of this. Don't worry about it, right? And he keeps getting these calls.
Well, hubris coming from the Chino man right there.
And then, like, what happens? Like, he's up in his apartment and he's talking to, like, the killer calls him and whatever. And then,
like, do I have time for a shower before?
Then the guy downstairs is like, pushes the button, like, the doorman. He's like, there's a mysterious person here with a mysterious package for you. And he's like, oh, let him up, you know? And then, like, suddenly smoke starts pouring into us, like, oh, no, they put a bomb outside my room. And then, like, they open a door and someone's, like, shooting at him.
At Al Pacino?
At Pacino, yeah. Like, someone's shooting at him, trying to kill him, right? And then, like, he gets a call, seriously, like, 10 minutes later, like, you've got 40 minutes to live. What do you think about that? And he's like, I'm going to find you, you bastard. It makes no sense.
Well, the thing is, what if one of those bullets hit him, then the guy's, like, predictions about his time would have been haywire.
All these other notes I made.
Uh-huh. My elaborate scheme. Well, so here's the thing, like, there's one of those debriefing sessions at the end when he gets to the real killer, and there's some things set up, and the real killer has set up this whole, like, thing so that someone's going to die.
Yeah.
And that's going to be blamed on him, and they're holding a rope, and the person's dangling from it, and the killer's like, let me explain to you, wasn't it perfect? I did all this perfectly.
Everything you taught me in class.
Yeah, maybe not.
No,
it
might not be a class person. I think it is, probably.
You really seem to think it's Ryan from the OC.
I'm pretty sure it is.
And what's funny is I read some reviews, and they used all the other actors by name, and it was like, and then Ryan from the OC. Because no one knows that his name is Benjamin McKenzie. Nobody knows that.
Okay, it's Ryan from the OC. Well, like, how much better this guy over here.
I had to look it up. I had to write my own review. I had to look it up.
Why didn't you just say Ryan from the OC?
Because he didn't want to admit that he's seen the OC.
Because everyone else's review said that.
Yeah.
Well, why am I going to write that?
Want to be different by using his real name?
You should have done everybody.
To be different, I should have written a positive review.
You should have written a review with everybody from something else they wrote. Alicia Witt from Law & Order Criminal Intent. Ryan from the OC.
Alicia Witt was what I remember her from is Sybil.
I never watched
the sitcom. Yeah. She was her daughter and younger daughter.
Yeah.
Right, so who was it? Come on.
You want me to give it away?
Yeah.
Well, I want to know more about the whole, like,
ask me some questions about what you want to know about, and I'll answer to the best of my knowledge. Okay, I'll surprise you with who the killer is.
Is the 88 minutes set to the same time period as the death of the guy that, like, got put away 10 years earlier?
No, the 88 minutes, he eventually tells Alicia Witt's with him in his apartment. And they do the thing where, like, the person who brings him the apartment slips.
Does he bang her? Do we get some wit hit?
He makes it very clear that he's not going to bang a student. I would never sleep with one of my students. Turns out the girl he slept with
was
a hooker. He didn't know it. They were at a party, which they show in one of the 50,000 flashbacks.
Oh, she got paid to do it, so that way the guy could set him up.
Like, she was giving him eyes, and he's like, hey, what's up? And they sleep.
If someone ever tries to sleep with you, Blaine, she probably got paid off by someone. Yeah.
Which comes out of the whole thing with Forsythe.
No setup.
Which comes out of the whole argument with Forsythe, where Forsythe goes, hey, they found a dead chick, right? And she's got your semen in it.
They set me up!
And he's like, last night, the girl I slept with, turns out she was a hooker. They hired her to sleep with me. They killed her. They took the semen out of her. They put it in the other girl they killed. To make it look like it was me. And he's like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And he's like, no, it's not!
He says that's ridiculous.
That's what he says. He goes, that's absurd. He goes, it's not absurd.
It's what happened, and it is absurd. It was absurd. Wow. So what about the death then? Does the death penalty guy get killed?
You don't actually see that. But
that becomes irrelevant all of a sudden?
No, it's not irrelevant. Actually, that's the end of the movie, and it's fantastic. Remind me of that.
Okay.
Later. The 88 minutes thing, Alicia Witt says...
He didn't answer me.
Says, what was this whole thing about? And he's like... He goes... 88 minutes, refers to a thing about my past. And they showed some flashbacks of some girl, and it's the stupidest flashbacks. It's this girl running on the beach. Remember the flashback from South Park where the girl's like, come out to the porch with me, Richard.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
And that's the guy who doesn't want you to fool around. Mm-hmm, yeah. And then she ends up like getting... it looks like it's supposed to be her blood or something. Oil shoots her face and she crashes. Anyway, the flashback is like that. It's this girl, and she's like laughing too hard and like running really fast on the beach. Like, she's like, come on, Jack, come on. like that. And you see a few of those like that. And then it's always him going like, like snapping out of it. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he reveals that that was his sister. And he had just gotten a big job in New York being a forensic psychologist, right? Mm-hmm. And to become forensic psychologist, Jack Graham. Mm-hmm. And he had a big job interview, right? He goes, this was going to make me huge. And I was already running late. So I left the home at the apartment. My parents were out of town. I left the home and
Is his sister or his daughter?
It's his sister.
Jeff Goldblum.
How old is she? And how old was he?
He was supposed to be like 28. Right. And she was supposed to be 13, I think. And so anyway, he's like, so I went and I left her there. And he's like, some serial killer broke into the apartment and made her record like a message for him, like, which gets sent to him. That's how this whole thing like starts, like kicks off his memory. It's like someone sends him a message and he's like, only two people have this tape, the New York Police Department. It's in my own private safe in my office that only one person has the code to, which is Amy Brenneman. And and so he's like, he tells this thing and he's like, well, this guy, then he did terrible things to her. He you know, he basically insinuates that he raped her.
Raped her with her own foot. He cut off her foot and raped her with her own
foot.
You're
disgusting. Yes. Uh-huh. And then he's like, she's like, so what's 88 minutes? He's like, the police told me that it took him 88 minutes to chop her into pieces. And then he's like, and then the music's like, na na na. And she's like kind of crying, mm-hmm. but he's like fighting back tears a little bit. And he's like,
he's a man.
He basically
man.
Just goes like this.
Oh, it's really stupid.
He does the Jean-Claude Van Damme thing from Time to Come.
88 minutes to hack a human body up?
Yeah, that's a lot of
There's a lot of gristle and stuff in there, dude.
Well, yeah. Haven't you seen that episode of UCB use? Where the guy's trying to do the autopsy?
What did he use? Depends.
A band hammer.
That's been something pretty weak.
He used the shit hammer.
He used a portable bandsaw.
Yeah.
He used a...
He brought a skill saw.
A sawzall.
Yeah. Don't they have like bone?
He used OxyClean.
Like bone?
OxyClean even destroys the flesh off of his bones. Anyway.
Harvey Keitel.
So that's the 88 minutes. So if someone's using that to get to him, somebody knew, mm-hmm. you know.
Somebody he knew?
Anyway. Who so you want to know the killer?
Yeah.
Do you want to know the killer? I'll give you some hints.
Yeah, you know, you spoiled stuff I actually cared more about than this.
Like what?
I don't know. I was just watching something that, anything, I, was like, that I knew that you guys had talked about.
You're like, oh, I already know what happens in this.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh,
no. It was a house guest.
No, I forget what it was. I was watching this a couple days ago, and I was like, I kind of already know what happens in this now because we talked about it on the podcast.
The mobsters go to the big spin and they get nothing.
Damn.
He's like, yeah, like they won't come try to kill him now. Yeah, I screwed those guys. Here's the first hint. I knew who it was the second they did this.
I need to drink first.
But I knew who it was the second they did this. He's following Alicia Witt around. He thinks it's maybe her. Ryan from the OC comes up. He thinks it may be him. And then he's walking down some stairs and he hears someone screaming. Mm-hmm. He runs down the stairs and Lily Sobieski's there with blood pouring out of her mouth. And she's like, some guy tried to attack me. And I think I smelled a certain smell. And he's like, oh, that's the chloroethylphil stuff that they used to knock him out.
Hydrochlorate.
She's like, yeah, I couldn't see him.
Remember
he had a leather jacket. He ran off that way.
Venture
and
Brothers.
So then he runs out there and he searches all these people. And he can't find
I like how you were doing, you were like going to explain it, but then you just like settled on what, like just Venture Brothers. You're like, yeah, remember.
From the chloral hydrate, yeah.
Remember Venture Brothers.
Chloral hydrate.
Yeah.
So it's chloral hydrate. He's running after.
Chloral ethylene is what he said.
Did you say ethylene? Totally
I just made something up.
Yeah, I know.
It's like heterogramalophilon or something. It's something that probably
doesn't exist.
So anyway, he runs back in there, and she's like, oh, you didn't find him? He's like, no, I feel so stupid. I'm sorry. And the whole time I was like, she did that to herself. She's the killer, right? Mm-hmm. Turns out she is the killer. So anyway, like...
Because it's her dad that's in prison?
No. She just had, like, a crazy, sick love thing with him. Like, here's the thing. His, he was able to have, like, his legal team was students, and she was turns out to be one of them, mm-hmm. and she used a fake name, and he ends up finding that out, and, like, turns out he finds out it's her. So at the very end, like, she's going to do all this so he can get off, because there's all this, like, stuff that
get basically off? Shows... Sexually?
No, like, get out. Like they're not going to execute him. They give him a stay of execution, mm-hmm. actually, on live TV, and one of the stupidest things is he actually gets to, like, call in. They're having a live interview with him.
Because she framed him for that murder, right?
That's what... Yeah, okay. Right. And no, they basically come to say that they're starting to realize that the only evidence ever was this guy's testimony that the guy's crazy.
And now it's looking like maybe he did.
Well, now they just say, well, you know, that's really not good enough. And even this guy's execution, he's been begging for a stay of execution to present his own. And he's a very good speaker. And they get a live interview with him on TV. And then Jack Graham happens to be watching the live interview. And he calls in to CNN. And he's like, hey, let me talk to him. And then, like, live on the air, they have an argument. Like, he's talking to him in his living room. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, you listen to me, Jack. I didn't kill anyone. And you're going to regret this.
So Jack, you know, with the first name basis stuff.
She was awesome. Calling... She was doing it to get the...
To get...
The guy that...
She wanted to get accolades and become a big
not to get Jack Graham off.
No.
But to get that one guy.
The killer. Yeah, she was in love with the killer.
Okay, I thought you were talking
and,
about...
And she was also in a part of his law.
Yeah, so anyway, at the very end, like, everyone keeps saying, hey, meet me in your office alone in 10 minutes. And he gets there, and Ryan from the OC is there. And he's just there because he's, like, angry and stuff. And he's like, hey, I think that you are doing all these killings. And like, I found this scalpel in your drawer. And he's like, they set me up. Someone is putting scalpels in drawers and rah. And so anyway, he runs off and goes into this building where he gets another phone call to go. And Alicia Witt's there. She's tied up. And nice. Lily Sobieski's got a gun to her head. And she's also got the
chick
dean.
On chick
she's got the dean tied dean. Up. From this pulley system.
Pulleys.
And she's about to drop her off, you know, this 3-4
Is it Dean
thing.
The chick, too?
She is, yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
She's the girl who was the bad girl serious. In
bad
Payback.
Girl Dean.
In Payback.
Blondish. Oh, Maria Bello?
No, the bad girl. The girl who was his girlfriend who betrayed him.
Oh, I don't remember that one. Sounds good, though. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So he runs in there, and he does his little psychobabble thing with her, trying to mess her up, and she's like, it's not going to work. You
he's like,
understand.
Does he start with, go ahead, I want you to kill the dean. That would make me happy.
No. He basically just like, you know, you're doing this for him? He's a piece of shit. Like, that sort of thing, you know? And she's like, shut up, he's great. And she then explains the whole plan. And he's like, what if I told you that there was a police officer aiming a gun at the back of your head? She's like, I wouldn't look, you know, because... But he's like 30 feet away, and he already kicked his gun over to her. Mm-hmm. And because he has a gun for some reason. He's always had a gun. Like, he runs around the movie with, like, multiple guns, and there's always red herrings about other people having guns, and he takes their bullets out, and then turns it... Then he believes that they're not bad, so he gives them their bullets back, and like, you had my fucking bullets? What? And he's like, sorry, I thought maybe you were the killer for a while. Like, the movie's so quick. Like, all the plot twists and things that happen in it would take, like... 4 or 5 days, and it's all supposed to be in like 88 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It's so stupid. Like, he's always like, I just need 10 minutes
to clear
my name.
Yeah, because 88 minutes is such a short amount
of
time.
Yeah, and he tells William Forsythe once or twice, like, I just need 10 minutes to clear my name. Meet me somewhere in 10 minutes. Then he drives, like, across the city that would take, like, 2 hours to get, you know, to, and, like, in Seattle, like, in, like, heavy traffic, you know, and...
So, wait, is he, like, in one place, and then the time is, like, 44 minutes, and then, like, he gets to the other place, and it's, like, 43
it's, like,
minutes
40,
or
exactly,
something?
Exactly, stuff like that. So anyway, at the very
maybe,
end, he goes,
maybe the killer doesn't count travel time.
Maybe, yeah.
If I were a killer,
discounting travel time. Yeah. Let me know if you're stuck in traffic, and I'll extend your time a little bit,
and I'll cover you for any expenses.
Because
incurred.
I've got all these pulleys set up, and I kind of need you to see them.
Any expenses incurred.
And so anyway, so then at the very end, like, he told William Forsythe, he's like, "Meet me at this building where the killer already said don't bring anyone." Right, so he's already broken that rule. And so he gets there.
Maybe that's why they keep trying to kill him. Like,
William Forsythe still thinks
right?
he's the killer.
He plays by his own rules.
And he gets up there, and they have a long talk. And she's about to kill him. And then he's like, she's like, what's your last words? And he's like, my last words is, you're about to get shot by the cop who's aiming at you right now. And she's like, yeah, right. And then she, like, aims her gun. And then she really is shot because...
Ghost in the Shell style? Like, her whole top of her head
explodes? No,
she
just, like,
and
she hits her in the back.
Oh,
and, like, because William Forsythe turns out, like... walked up the wrong stairs or something. He's, like, all the way across the building, but he can, like, see. And he's got his own little, like, snub-nosed 38, and he, like, shot her from, like, a mile away in the back. And she's like, ah, and falls over. And then the dean starts to fall, because she was holding the rope.
Into the bad ass.
So he jumps, like, probably like 50 feet, and catches the rope, and he's like, and rope pulls her back up.
Like in another Venture Brother episode. The one with the pirates.
Stop it. And he pulls her back up, and then he saves them, and Alicia Witt, and everyone's like, oh, you're great.
Does he get a threesome with Alicia Witt?
And she ends up falling. She ends up falling. The bag, Lily Sobieski. Right. And she gets, you know, smashed on the ground, and she's all dead and stuff. And then anyway, the phone rings. Mm-hmm. It's Lily's phone, and it's the bad guy, and he's like, hey, baby.
Did you kill him yet?
And Pacino's like, oh, I'm sorry, she's indisposed, you know? And he's like, hey, Jack, how's it going? How do you like my little plan? And he's like, oh, it's really good, it's great, yeah. Like, just kind of egging him on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, pretty ingenious, right? And he continues to, like, lay out how they did it and, like, how I had her make out with your secretary so she'd get the secret code, and then she would get the tape and this and that and this, and then all the pulleys. And he's like, oh, yeah, real great. And then eventually he's like, put her on the phone. I want to talk to her. You know, like, he would be holding the phone and she's like about to kill him. And he's like, hey, she's dead, buddy. You know, and he's like, no. And his plan is ruined.
Then does he do the Pacino calm down for me? He's like, what I'm going to tell you now, no, for real.
He calms down a little bit. He goes,
she's dead.
No, his little thing that he gets back, mm-hmm. he's like, you hear that ticking? That's the countdown to your own death. You got 12 hours. And then he hangs up the phone, and then you think he calms down for a second, and then he turns around and hurls the phone like it was evidence and stuff, right? And he hurls the phone like off the cliff where she fell, like in the building, and like in super slow motion with like cathartic music playing, like the cell phone smashes on the ground in a million pieces, and like he looks over at Forsythe, and Forsythe's like, like they just do, and he just walks away, like he wasn't part of a crime scene or something. He's like, ah, he gets out of there, and that's the end of 88 minutes.
Yeah.